Chapter 4 The Vital Principle. 60. Is the force which unites the elements of matter in organic and inorganic bodies the same? Yes, the law of attraction is the same for all. 61. Is there any difference between the matter of organic and inorganic bodies? The matter of both classes of bodies is the same, but in organic bodies it is animalized. 62. What is the cause of the animalization of matter? Its union with the vital principle. 63. Does the vital principle reside in a special agent, or is it only a property of organized matter? In other words, is it an effect or a cause? It is both. Life is an effect produced by the action of an agent upon matter. This agent, without matter, is not life, just as matter cannot become alive without this agent. It gives life to all beings that absorb and assimilate it. 64. We have seen that spirit and matter are two constituent elements of the universe. Does the vital principle constitute a third element? It is, undoubtedly, one of the elements necessary to the constitution of the universe, but it has its source in a special modification of the universal matter modified to that end. For you, it is an elementary body, like oxygen or hydrogen, which, nevertheless, are not primitive elements, for all the bodies known to you, though appearing to you to be simple, are modifications of the primal fluid. This statement seems to imply that vitality is not due to a distinct primitive agent, but is a special property of the universal matter resulting from certain modifications of the latter. Your conclusion is the natural consequence of what we have stated. 65. Does the vital principle reside in any one of the bodies known to us? It has its source in the universal fluid. It is what you call the magnetic fluid, or the electric fluid, animalized. It is the intermediary, the link between spirit and matter. 66. Is the vital principle the same for all organic beings? Yes, but modified according to species. It is that principle which gives them the power of originating movement and activity, and distinguishes them from inert matter, for the movement of matter is not spontaneous. Matter is moved, it does not originate movement. 67. Is vitality a permanent attribute of the vital principle, or is vitality only developed by the play of the organs in which it is manifested? It is only developed in connection with a body. Have we not said that this agent, without matter, is not life? The union of the two is necessary to the production of life. Would it be correct to say that vitality is latent when the vital agent is not united with the body? Yes, that is the case. 68. What is the cause of the death of organic beings? The exhaustion of their bodily organs. Would it be correct to compare death to the cessation of movement in a machine that had got out of gear? Yes, when the machine gets out of order, its action ceases. When the body falls ill, life withdraws from it. 69. Why is death caused more certainly by a lesion of the heart than by that of any other organ? The heart is a life-making machine. But the heart is not the only organ of which the lesion causes death, it is only one of the wheels essential to the working of the machine. 70. What becomes of the matter and the vital principle of organic beings after their death? The inert matter is decomposed, and serves to form other bodies. The vital principle returns to the general mass of the universal fluid. 71. Is intelligence an attribute of the vital principle? No, for the plants live and do not think, they have only organic life. Intelligence and matter are independent of one another, for a body may live without intelligence, but intelligence can only manifest itself by means of material organs. Animalized matter can only be rendered intelligent by its union with spirit. 72. What is the source of intelligence? We have already told you, the universal intelligence. Would it be correct to say that every intelligent being draws a portion of intelligence from the universal source, and assimilates it as it draws and assimilates the principle of material life? Such a comparison would be far from exact, for intelligence is a faculty that is proper to each being, and constitutes its moral individuality. Besides, we have told you that there are things which man is unable to fathom, and this, for the present, is one of them. 73. Is instinct independent of intelligence? No, not precisely so, for it is a species of intelligence. Instinct is an unreasoning intelligence, by means of which the lower orders of beings provide for their wants. 74. Is it possible to establish a line of demarcation between instinct and intelligence, that is, to say, to define precisely where the one ends and the other begins? No, for they often blend into one another. But the actions which belong to instinct and those which belong to intelligence are easily distinguished. 75. Is it correct to say that the instinctive faculties diminish in proportion with the growth of the intellectual faculties? No, instinct always continues to exist, but man neglects it. Instinct, as well as reason, may lead us in the right direction. Why is it that reason is not always an infallible guide? It would be infallible if it were not perverted by a false education, by pride, and by selfishness. Instinct does not reason. Reason leaves freedom to choice, and gives man free will.